The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It is third down and 10 from the Browns 45. Fields back to pass. Up to the pocket. He rolls left. Time's run out. It's going down into the end zone. Knock it down. The ball is intercepted.
I blacked out. I don't know. Honestly, that's this season, Jake. I mean, there's going to be times that you just got to trust your guys.
Who could have wrote this story? I mean, and I'm in Dr. Seuss, so.
And you're myself, dog. But, you know, luckily our defense made an exceptional play, you know, sealed the game, and that was it.
Of all the towering figures in American literature, Dr. Seuss is the one who gets the shout out from Miles Garrett as the one who couldn't come up with a story like this. It prompted that moment, the loudest reaction of the season so far in the viewing room, as that ball came down and Darnell Mooney had it and then kicked it up into the arms of D'Anthony Bell to end the game. It was incredible. Because that's not tie game. That's not overtime.
No,
that's win. That's
walk
off.
Right.
That. Think of how differently we'd feel about the Bears today and the Browns today if Darnell Mooney catches this pass. Now, let's keep showing this.
The Bears are close. You know, they really are. There are a lot of things to be excited about.
I talked to D'Anthony Bell. He said we were studying film this week of Hail Marys league-wide, and he said I noticed that the offensive players are gathering in front of the wall of defensive players because they knock it down. It's like, I will catch it.
Right.
So he made the break over to Darnell Mooney because he's like, uh-oh, he's going to do it. And as he's making the break over, the ball gets kicked to him. Because when I was talking to D'Anthony, I wasn't watching the clip because if I had, I would have said, you know what, you weren't going to get there in time. He was catching that ball.
Oh, definitely, right.
But the fact that he was making the move over there put him in position to make the catch because there he is right there, just kind of like, hey, boom, that's it. And he said, you know, I'm supposed to knock it down too, but look how fast it happens. He just like, there's the ball, I'm taking it.
And he gets stuck in between a few people, and it's hard. It's not as easy to knock the ball straight down as everybody thinks it is. You know, there's a lot of people trying to make things happen. You knock the ball, it might knock off your teammate's shoulder pad or helmet, and it goes into the air, right?
Yeah, it's not a volleyball spike. Yeah,
exactly right.
It's not, you don't get the opportunity to really slam it down. You're just trying to tip it down.
Yeah, and within that, you don't always hit it clean or crush it.
One of the Browns players told Devin McCourty that in the future we're just going to catch it.
Daron Harmon.
Yeah, Daron Harmon. We're just going to catch it.
Right. Which I think there's something there to that too.
But the problem is if you butterfinger it at all and starts popping around, it's even easier for the offensive player to catch it.
Yeah, exactly right. But it added some great excitement to the end of that football game. I mean, the Browns, I don't know, they're arguably, I think, one of my favorite teams to watch in the league right now. They're kind of can't-miss football. Their defense, I have a man crush on it. I mean, their defense is phenomenal. And what I think I love about them more than anything, Mike, is like they go for the kill every play. right? I think you heard me a few times during the game in the viewing room where I'm like, look at this. It's 2nd and 7. They got 9 guys at the line of scrimmage. They're playing man-to-man like it's 1st and goal on the 1-inch line. I mean, it's just they don't play to like, oh, let's make sure it's, you know, not 2nd and 4. They go, we want 2nd and 14. It's like every play is like, no, we think we can make you lose yards here. I mean, their defense makes so many plays, right? And this one, they saved their ass, their defense. I know Joe Flacco is going to get a lot of the credit for throwing for 374 yards. I wish I could throw 3 interceptions and a pick six and get credit for a game like that. Damn. I mean, you know, the pick six, another time he throws an interception, it gets returned inside the 5-yard line. They hold the Bears to a field goal.
The pick six was off the guy's hands.
Yeah, it was unlucky. That's right. But it still was trying to jam the ball into the middle of the field. Now, this one, he kind of gets hit as he's throwing it, too. Now, what my main point and what I was trying to get to a little here is I know they can't run the football right now, right? And, yeah, you'd like your tight end to catch that ball. It was a bang-bang play, and it's a good play by 2 linebackers who were getting paid a lot of money by the Bears in free agency last year, and that was good signings by them. My thing is just, you know, that should have been a touchdown right there. That was after the muff punt by the Chicago Bears. Doesn't, you know, end up 0 points, but guess what happens? The Cleveland Browns defense stops the Bears on the ensuing drive, who took, I'll get here first, have a 4th and 1 at the 33-yard line, up 17-7. Kick the freaking field goal and go up 20-7. Instead, they go for it against the best defense in football, and Justin Fields doesn't get the first down, and they go down and kick a field goal and kind of take momentum back of the football game. Yes, thank you. Turning point right there, just like that. Here it is, Matt Eberflus, big moment of the game. You can go up 13. The Browns offense ain't done jack diddly spot for the most part.
Close.
Play of the day by, I mean, Cam Mitchell, rookie from Northwestern. Way to go. He's a good little player. Play some nickel for them, but good job. So close, like you said. But that, to me, was the turning point of the football game. Cleveland kind of took control there. But the other point I was trying to get back to is just, like, they got to manage Joe Flacco a little bit. Like, we've been watching Joe Flacco the last few years. I mean, he's a human turnover machine. If they call a deep throw, he throws it deep no matter what. If there's 7 guys there, he still throws it deep. So they got to be a little careful. I know they can't run the ball and they're going to have to throw to win the game, but you do have an unbelievable defense. Play through that a little bit more. I just feel like they're skating by right now, and I don't know if it's realistic, and they just need to rein it in on that side of the ball just a little bit more because, you know, again, they almost lost the game yesterday. They probably shouldn't have because of the over-aggressive nature of their own offense.
I will give Joe Flacco credit, though, for forgetting about the turnovers
for
and
real.
Getting the job done.
No doubt.
How many guys have we seen, once it starts to go,
right.
they
shell.
Can't quit thinking about what
right.
they did earlier,
right.
and they can't just relax and play.
That's right.
And make the throws after the fact that allow things like this, the setup to David and Njoku.
Yeah, this throw right
here.
The
3rd and 15 with a guy in his
Woo!
Face, and he kind of double
away.
Clutches it
right.
before he throws it.
Yeah.
And it's a little high, and Njoku makes the catch, and next thing you know, it's field goal range. The pitch and catch to Amari Cooper.
Oh,
I mean,
Cooper crossing route in the coverage. Fearless.
So and this is a testament to having a guy who has played for so long, he's seen it all, he's done it all, he's not going to get freaked out. Dorian Thompson-Robinson, P.J. Walker, Joe Flacco at age 23 is
sure.
not going to shake off the 3 interceptions the way that 38-year-old Joe Flacco did, and that is one of the benefits that they have. And it is fun to watch it happen.
It is.
And Njoku, do we
he's
have the touchdown? I still don't understand how he managed to avoid, and this is a rule we've learned over the years, the heel toe.
Yeah.
Or the toe heel.
Yeah, toe heel.
If you toe tap on the sideline
right.
and your whole foot doesn't come down in bounds, it's a catch. If your toe lands in and the rest of your foot in the natural process of taking a step, that's what the rule book says.
Right, like boom,
if
you, boom.
Yeah, if you're facing the field and your toes hit and your heels come down out of bounds, it's
you're
out of bounds. And we just thought, that's what happened.
Right.
It was toe heel, and Njoku's out of the back of the end zone. When you watch that play, he twists his foot and keeps the heel
it's incredible.
From landing out of bounds. And I was hoping to talk to him after the game. He was in high demand, as you can imagine. 2nd 100-yard receiving game of his career. But it's uncanny. I've never seen anybody manage to move their foot like that and get it to come down in bounds in that moment.
I mean,
like, that's, are you really practicing?
By a millimeter.
Are you practicing catching at the back of the end zone? Maybe he is. That's what I want to ask.
I don't know.
How much do you practice that?
Foot and all that, but I do think, to like your point, it's a guy that now he's played a lot of ball and he's just got a feel and a sixth sense of where he is on the field. And you know, that's what happens as a player, is the more you get to play and do all that, you start to become better at little, you know, what do you call instinctual things there. And yeah, this is incredible. I mean, you're right. First off, he is a specimen. If you ever saw David Njoku in person, you'd be like, oh my gosh, like safeties and corners got to tackle this guy in the NFL. You know, we're, I don't know if we got the correct angle that they show after the review and
you
all
can
that.
See at the back where that foot comes
but
down, and it's
was.
Like there's
I
no
mean,
way that heel's in bounds. There's no way it's in bounds. Holy crap, it's in bounds.
It was in by maybe a millimeter.
But it's great to see as well. He struggled early in his career.
Right.
He was kind of felt like a borderline bust. They ended up paying him, and this was one of the Deshaun Watson toys.
Here we go.
But now it's become – there it is. How? He turns it and he keeps it. And it looks, still looks like maybe part of it hit. I don't know. They got a little gift
there. In the viewing room.
Whoop.
I know.
I see
it. I think it was one of those so close where it goes back to your saying. If we have to look at it this many time and go on this long, we're just going to keep the feel on the call.
You know
the
what?
Field.
You know what, though? Now that we see that angle this morning
in
the light of day.
Our friend Gradelli, who's in the viewing room with us, he thought it was out, right?
He does turn the foot, but it's after it hits.
You don't see any dirt get dug up on the white. That's what's weird about it. And that's where I think it becomes really hard to actually go. Did that heel actually come down all the way? And I think they gave the tie goes to the runner here because of what the call was on the football field.
There was another example of it yesterday where it looked like there was a catch that should have been overturned to a non-catch or vice versa. It just makes me think somebody read some on the Riot Act about clear and obvious as we get closer to the playoffs.
Right.
And it better be clear and obvious, and
if you have to look at it 74 times, it's too long, right?
Yeah. And we say that all the time, but sometimes if you go too far one way, you see that. You know it when you see it. All right, I retract everything I said. It was an incredible effort by David Njoku, but I think his foot came down out of bounds.
You're awesome.
That was an angle that I didn't get a clean look at as we were watching eight games yesterday. But regardless, the Browns are making it work. They're 9-5. They're the 5 seed right now.
Going to Houston this next week.
Kevin Stefanski is the first Browns head coach with multiple winning seasons since Marty Schottenheimer did it in the 80s, which means Kevin Stefanski is the first coach of these Browns.
Yes.
Because those Browns are the Ravens now.
Yes, right.
Sorry, Miles.
Yeah.
Those Browns are the Ravens now. These Browns, who entered the league as an expansion team in 1999, have never had a head coach with multiple winning seasons.
No, you know, that Marty Schottenheimer Browns, of course, was prime Browns, one of the best teams in football there for a number of years, and kept getting upset by Elway in AFC championship games and having to deal with
the
Elway
drive,
magic,
the fumble,
all that crap, right? They had another one where they just got their butts beat, I think, in the 89 championship game that year. But you know, there's some things to really respect about this Cleveland defense. Their defense makes a lot of plays. Schwartz, the way he games plans and just how aggressive they are and how they, you know, the scheme and the talent all mesh well together. And the fact that, you know, they came into this year as one of the elite running teams in football, and now because of the injuries in the O-line, Nick Chubb and all that, they're having to drop back. It's 3 games in a row, mid-40 pass attempts for Joe Flacco. If you told me that, I would go, well, I don't think they can win that way. So it's shocking. And not only are they winning that way, they're making big plays. But I do think it's got to be reined in just a little bit, because I don't know if you're going to beat the really, really good teams in the AFC, you know, making some of the mistakes we've seen them make.
Think about some of the potential AFC playoff games
we can have. Yeah.
Bills-Browns.
Ravens-Browns.
Ravens-Browns. Flacco goes back to Baltimore.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some good ones.
You throw the Chiefs in there. You got the Bills. You got the Browns. You got the Ravens.
You got the Dolphins.
You got the Texans of C.J. Stroud when he's back. The Dolphins out there. Some very exciting AFC playoff games. And the AFC is so wide open. To see who the sacrificial lamb to the 49ers will be is going to be a heck of a contest. And even then with the 49ers, you never know. We had that scare yesterday. Brock Purdy went down.
Right.
You never know when one of those key players is going to be injured, and that will change everything if and when it happens. All right, we're going to take a break. Superlatives for week 15 when PFT Live continues right after this. PFT Live Monday edition. Here we are, superlatives time. This is it's funny how the show evolves and changes over the course of the season. Just to peel back the curtain a little bit, we just kind of use this as a mechanism to talk about some of the other games. And we hand out awards and we come up with the names. We basically pull them out of thin air and or our butts in the break beforehand. We go back and forth who's going to take which game. And it's all just a vehicle for talking about the games in a way differently than how we have done it throughout. So that said, time for your first superlative.
Well, I got to go to my old squad. I mean, I got to, right? I mean, matey, yo-ho, yo-ho, the Baker's life for me. That's right, Baker Mayfield. I mean, the Bucks. I mean, what they're doing on offense here as of late, just they become, you know, easily the most explosive passing game in the NFC South. But, yeah, I mean, I think the transformation of Todd Bowles wanting to be a defense, running the ball type of football team early on in the year, they realize they're not going to run the ball. So they've gone vice versa and said, we're going to throw the ball, open up the field that way. And then if we can run, you know, after that because teams are worried about our pass game, that's great. But, man, when they drop back to throw the football, it's for 15 and 20 and 30-yard completions, as you see here. I mean, seams and screens, that's what they do. Attack down the field, oh, get soft coverage, and they are a very good wide receiver screen. I think this is something Tom Brady kind of instilled into the Buccaneers, honestly, him being there. But Chris Godwin, he is kind of the screen guy, but the way that Baker, his arm, throw the ball down the field to Godwin, Mike Evans, Kate Otten can stretch the field a little bit, and then they find a screen game with the receivers, and then Rashee White, the running back, a little too, to find him underneath. They got a little something working right now. It's impressive, and good for Baker Mayfield. He deserves this. He's been a little screwed over by some of his last stops, and here he is settling in and really carrying this Buccaneers offense right now.
I talked to him last week after they beat the Falcons. He said he wants to stay in Tampa Bay, and you know, we are in that final few weeks of the season that will determine futures.
Yeah.
And he plays like this. Well, they may have to franchise tag him to keep him around, frankly. You look at all the quarterback needy teams out there,
sure,
and Mayfield has reestablished himself. And I'm glad for him, and I also am glad for me because you look at his career arc, and it's really been a career roller coaster.
Right.
2018, pretty damn good. 2019, it was a mess in Cleveland. 2020, he was back. They were on
the brink of beating the Chiefs. Right.
And then 2021, that's when week two, he messes up his shoulder, and he keeps trying to play with a bad shoulder,
right,
and it all falls apart. And then last year was just a
Crap,
it was a cluster.
Goes to the Rams.
Well, they squat on him in Cleveland.
Yeah,
they're trying to trade him.
Right.
It's like, let's just part ways.
Give
the whole Deshaun Watson thing.
Yeah, they screwed him over in Cleveland.
And he got like a $4.5 million base salary this year. Talk about bargains.
Yeah.
You want to talk value? Somebody was making the argument to me last week that Brock Purdy is more of an MVP than Dak Prescott because Brock Purdy is cheap. It's a greater value. Well, if that's the case, Baker Mayfield's an MVP candidate, and I'm only half kidding. There's five names deep on the ballot. He's got to be one of the names right now. What he's doing for that Buccaneers team and putting them in position to win the division, if they win the division, he will be one of my five.
I won't be mad at you that. If he continues what he's doing right now, I don't know if I'm ready to put him on the ballot quite yet, but it's, you know, he does this three more weeks, 300 yards, touchdowns, winning the game because of his big right arm. You know, I hear you. He could
too.
He deserves to be in the conversation.
Quarterbacks in the history of the National Football League have had perfect passer ratings at Lambeau Field.
Wow, two.
Oh, Aaron Rodgers.
All right.
And Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
You may need to come up with a song. I don't know that Yo-Ho Yo-Ho is good enough. You need something specific to Baker Mayfield.
Okay, so. I'll work on it. But, yeah, I'm good for the Bucks, really. The way they're playing right now, what he's doing. And defense isn't great, you know, but they do have some talent and some playmakers there. This was an exciting game, right? Third quarter, it became a track show. I mean, Jordan Love, the Packers offense was going up and down the football field. They were kind of going back at each other, but, you know, ultimately they couldn't keep pace with the Bucs offense and what they were doing.
And they got something in Rashad White.
They do.
He's had four straight great games, two over 100 rushing yards. I think one was right at 100. Yesterday at 89, and he slid 11 yards short of the end zone, and then he got up, and he was going to keep going. Like, he was really conflicted, once he slid, they said, you gave yourself up. Even though he wasn't touched, they wouldn't let him finish. But, you know, he wasn't offended by Mayfield saying back in October, we're not a run-first team. And they still might not be, but the run is more dangerous now than it was.
That's what they did vice versa. So let's throw it. Let's get them
throw
off
to set up the run.
Bit. Now we got some room to run. You know, and then they found ways to throw the ball underneath to him a little bit. And I think that, you know, all those things, like James Cook, right, gives him a little confidence. Oh, there's some space. And all of a sudden you run harder. You start to feel like you're a part of the offense. And, yeah, they got something with White. You're right about that.
All right, first one for me, a win is a win is a win, because it wasn't pretty. They covered the spread. We didn't think they would, but the Chiefs went up to New England and handled the Patriots, even though there are still issues with that Chiefs offense. We still saw the dropsies yesterday. We saw little alligator arms.
Yeah, Travis Kelce.
Travis Kelce. Right? I wonder if when he and Taylor Swift go their separate ways, if and when that happens, the title of the breakup song will be Alligator Arms.
Why are you? Maybe they're going to stay together.
Maybe they
forever.
Will. I don't know. Well, yeah, you never know. Maybe
but
it'll be
here's
a, maybe
the
play
you're
be,
talking about.
Yeah.
Right? He's trying to catch it, cradle, and protect himself. He knows he's going to get hit, but he just cradles just a hair too early to where he doesn't get his hands on the ball all the way. He's worried about, you know, getting hit by what the heck's his name there? Duggar, right? But you're right.
But Kelce's like two of him. Like, yeah. go ahead and hit me.
The shot. Yeah, but this is, you know, like you said, it's the Chiefs right now. It's that. Right,
Tony Harrison, had one. Chubbs. He had one.
Slant over the middle. I mean, plays volleyball with it. Interception. Right. He throws a ball down the middle of the field to Blake Bell. Blake Bell, you're not in concrete. You're allowed to actually walk back to catch the ball. He literally was just like, no, arms go longer. The ball got hit, popped in the air.
That was one of the excuses that they were trying to push a few weeks ago, that the receivers are just a few feet off of where they need to be to make the catch. But if it's still, you go get it.
Yes.
It's basic ball skills.
And they're not going to give up on Tony, everybody. He's going to screw up every game from now to the end of time. They don't care. Because if he returns a punt for a touchdown or reverse for a touchdown in the Super Bowl, it's going to all be worth it. They're going to hang with this guy. They don't got anybody else like this guy at receiver. So that's going to happen. And that's an issue. And Mahomes is frustrated, but he's doing a good job of hanging in there. And there's Tony. Just, you could see, takes his eye off the ball. He's worried about running, making a play after the catch. Right? You know, but there's still as much as we know that offense is not functioning the way we would like it, and they make some mistakes and do stuff like that, it's still Mahomes and the Chiefs, and you feel like they can find ways to do anything. They have a grittiness about them that's real. And then, of course, their defense and how good they are and the way they were playing. I mean, Bailey Zappe came out in this one, kind of looked good early on. But, you know, after the first few drives, that was it. The Chiefs kind of figured out what New England was doing, and they put the clamps on, and, you know, Zappe and the rest of the Patriots offense couldn't do crap after that.
It really is strange, though. For as much as they love Tony, they don't use him that much. He was on the field for 40% of the snaps yesterday. For the year, it had been 25%. There were some games where he was in single-digit percentage. Yeah. I mean, if he's that dangerous, get him out there and use him all the time. I spoke to Mahomes after the game, and it was I get him maybe once a year, and I kept him way too long. We talked for 10 minutes. But on the issue of the drops, and we mentioned this last night on Football Night in America, because a lot of times you hear broad comments about, you know, we have to get better. What specifically are you going to do? What do you do to help guys learn to hold on to the football? And he said, before or after every practice, it'll be extra throws from me, the other quarterbacks, jugs machines.
Yeah.
And then it's about confidence. I've seen these guys make great catches. I've seen them make some of the great catches I've ever seen. Right. You just have to believe in yourself. And I don't know how you get someone to the point where they believe in themselves in that moment. It gets in your head. How do you get it out of your head? It becomes a mental block. It becomes something that you're too conscious of. We see guys try to turn up field before they've looked the ball all the way in. That's not what these guys, it's a thing.
Yeah.
And they don't know how to make it not a thing.
Right.
But still, to go into New England and win yesterday. You know, I also spent some time talking to him about what Bill Belichick does to try to fool them. He said they always look the same on defense. Mm-hmm. You can't disguise, you can't diagnose before the snap what's coming.
Right.
They've disguised whatever they're going to do. They've got guys who can play different positions. They move all over the place, and they really do try to fool them. And he said they got me a few times.
Yeah.
But that's one of the things he's trying to do, is get to the point where he's like a Tom Brady, and that he knows what's coming. He can see it. He can sense it. Even if they've got it disguised, he knows. He just knows. There's some little thing that tells him where they're going to move when the play starts. Yeah. And he'll get there.
He will. We're seeing it.
He's 28. By the time he gets into his mid to early 30s, that range, the brain and the body will be at a point where he'll be even better than he is now, if that's even possible.
Agreed. Yeah, I agree with that. And, you know, he's close to, you know, being that kind of guy. His only problem is he's so freaking talented that sometimes he might leave a completion or something surgical on the field because he goes, wait, we're a little we're stalling out here a little bit. Yeah, there's a guy open underneath for 6 or 7 yards, but we haven't moved the ball the last few drives, so let me try to hit one for 30 right here. And that's where he gets himself in trouble. And he's done that a little bit this year. But you know, I think in the long run, he'll play the game the way he's supposed to play. And the Chiefs, of course, are still dangerous and still one of the best teams in the AFC with that defense, with him. Pacheco back healthy when he gets back out there. We know the Chiefs are going to be a major player in the AFC when all said and done.
All right, give me another one.
I'm going to go to the Audubon Society on this one. I got to. The bird killers right now, the 49ers. It's 4 games in a row. They've just killed birds, all right? I mean, we went Seahawks, Eagles, Seahawks, Cardinals, and they got the Ravens this week. So, I mean, we got to continue to keep the Audubon Society's number alive here for the inhumane treatment of birds here by the San Francisco 49ers. Poor little Tweety Cardinal, he's dead today, okay? That's not cool. But, I mean, it's nothing new that we're going to be saying here. Cardinals offense came out firing all that. But, I mean, damn, there's Debo Samuel wide open because of a great play call and designed by Shanahan. You know, Cardinals defense moved the ball the first drive. Looked like they were moving the ball again. Then Charvarius Ward does a great job of kind of reading Kyler Murray's eyes. Pick six, 14-7, right? And usually when the 49ers start to get a touchdown lead or go up by more than that, you start to go, well, this is the kind of game they want to play. You know, here's Brock Purdy. What a great play. What a cool play altogether as far as getting McCaffrey open down the field. And he was wide open, but Brock Purdy did a good job of buying some time to make sure he could hit him. But I think it's the same thing we continue to say about the 49ers. It's all systems go. They look great at everything. Their defense wasn't at its best yesterday, right? But Kyler Murray, the way they ran the ball well. They do it. Trey McBride, that damn tight end. And here's the other thing. The 49ers had no Hargrave yesterday, no Eric Armstead. So I think that hurt their defense. But damn, Shanahan, that offense, McCaffrey, I mean, almost 200 total yards of offense once again. I know I like watching Cleveland, but San Francisco is the most fun watching football because of those weapons on offense.
They've won 6 games in a row.
Yep.
They've won each one by at least 12 points. Back-to-back division titles for the first time since 2011-2012.
Right.
2012 is the last year they went to the Super Bowl.
Officially the overall Nets points leader in the NFL, right? You look at that after yesterday.
Unbelievable. Yeah. And just everything about it, catching the Dolphins' offense systematically. We were talking
every
about that
week.
Before the show.
Yeah.
Getting closer and closer, to the Dolphins'
offense.
They're
like 10 yards behind the Dolphins' offense.
Wouldn't Dolphins 49ers be a hell of a Super Bowl? I don't think the Dolphins can get there. But that would be a hell of a Super Bowl.
Oh, that it really would
McDaniel
be.
McDaniel and Shanahan.
Oh, definitely. You know, the two whiz kids, right? And, you know, that's one of those where it's
it wouldn't be a hell of a Super Bowl. It would be like Super Bowl 19.
You think it would?
Yeah. It would
the
be 49ers the same thing.
Would whoop
49ers
them that way?
The 49ers are going to win the Super Bowl. The rest of it's just details. Unless they fall off again with injuries. They have another game like the Browns where, uh-oh, Debo Samuel. Uh-oh, Trent Williams. Uh-oh, Christian McCaffrey. And that could happen.
Yeah.
Or, Brock Purdy gets hit by Hassan Reddick.
No, it feels inevitable. Like I think we said last week, it feels like the 80s or 90s again. It feels like it's the 84 Niners, the 85 Bears, the 86 Giants, the 89 Niners, right? The 92 Cowboys, 93 Cowboys, the 94 Niners, the 96 Packers, where you just kind of like, it's about week 12 of all those seasons, I can remember being a kid going, they're going to win the Super Bowl. Like, it's just like you said, as long as they stay healthy, they're going to the Super Bowl. They just look like they are in a class of their own. And nobody, when they play at their best, looks like the 49ers. And I think a lot of people see that with the eye test.
I wish there was one more in that class.
I know.
The gap between them and number two.
I know.
Right now it's 49ers, Ravens. And I would expect the 49ers to beat the Ravens by at least 10 points if they played right now.
Wow. Yeah. I think so too. And I'm not even ready to say the Ravens. I think in a one game playoff scenario, like one game win it out, I think it might be the Chiefs. That's where I get back into that conversation.
I don't know what the opening line is, but next Monday night, the Ravens and the 49ers
you just said
get
it.
Together. 10? How about 9.5?
I don't think it'll be that much. I think it'll be like 4.
Can we?
4.5
we'll find,
Niners.
We're going to take a break. We'll find the. I'm going to say. All right, you go ahead. You pick yours and I'll pick mine. I'll say 9.5.
I'm going to say it's under 5. You're going to say it's over. You're going to something.
I'm going to say it's 9.5.
Okay.
Or
wow.
Higher.
Damn.
All right, we'll find out and we'll update
we'll burn
you.
That, if I'm right, we burn that sweatshirt.
No. No. More PFT Live right after this.
Want the same expert advice you get from the pros in the store while shopping online at DiscountTire.com? Meet Treadwell, your personal online tire guide that matches you with the perfect tire for your vehicle. Get your best match in 1 minute or less with Treadwell by Discount Tire. Let's get you taken care of.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Is it too soon to even think about using the P word?
No, 100%. I mean, unless you told me the season ended right now, it doesn't mean anything to me. So how we move forward and how we handle our business over the next, 72 hours and then leading into the game on Thursday is what's most important. But love this group. Love the opportunity for us to be able to learn, and especially after being able to get the victory that those guys did a good job of.
I don't buy any of that crap. Of course he's thinking about the playoffs. They're about to defy all expectations. Teddy KGB is back. That's the superlative I didn't get to last segment. Because remember, it was 2 years ago, splash in the pot, pay that man his money. They were all in. This, there it is. Well done. They don't have any chips to push into the middle of the table, but they got a hell of a hand.
So maybe
we're realizing.
Maybe they're more Matt Damon. What was his name in the round?
I don't know.
Right?
The other guy.
Yeah.
Not Teddy KGB. They're realizing they got a good hand.
Right.
And they pulled some good cards here. And the other hands aren't as good as theirs. And here they are at number 7 on the playoff tree. And of course, they're thinking about it. I got to say something. He's got that tuft of hair in the front that defies all gravity and elements. That game, we didn't mention this last week, that game in Baltimore when it was pouring down rain for 3 hours, that little tuft right there was still sticking straight up.
I think he's got one of those.
In
like,
the driving rainstorm.
He's got one of those front calyx, right?
It's straight up.
It's like it doesn't go down, I don't think. I don't know.
Straight up.
Right. I don't know. Maybe he has some product
in the rain
in there.
For 3 hours. Yep. He's got some damn good product to make it go straight up.
I don't even think product in the rain.
3 hours in the rain in Baltimore.
I think he has
straight
one
up.
Of those like calic heads that are just like that in the front there.
I used to have one of those damn things.
Yeah.
Right here.
You had it right there?
Right here.
Yeah.
I tried everything with it. I tried to cut it all the way down at the bottom. Didn't work. It just that weird little flippy thing that wouldn't go away.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Well, you got a full head of hair. You're doing all right.
But it's mostly
got a
mine.
Forehead. You got a three head. I mean, so you're. Yeah. Dude,
no. It's gone back a little bit. It goes back a little bit.
But
it goes back a little bit.
Your Teddy KGB thing.
You're just going back a little bit.
It's going back. It definitely is. My son keeps calling me Peyton Manning.
That's he keeps good.
Calling. I'm going to go,
that's
when good. We see Peyton Manning one day, because you're going to see him, I'm going to go, hey, my son makes fun of your forehead and does it to me all the time. I'm going to call him out in front of him. I'm going to get him. He keeps calling me, that Peyton Manning forehead you got over there. But the Rams, I mean, what they're doing. You know, McVay, again, you talk about a coach exceeding expectations, right, and being Coach of the Year candidate, right? He's the guy that needs to be in that conversation.
Coach of the Year is going to be so hard this
year.
Oh,
my gosh. It seems like it's about as hard as ever, right? But they whooped the crap out of the Commanders yesterday. I mean, they really did. This score is actually very misleading. They could have blown them out of the water. You know, Kyren Williams fumbled one time going into score. He fumbled another time kind of when they were driving. That squashed it. But we know this can happen, right? Movement, motions, Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua, you know, what are they doing? They confuse you. They run all these option routes. Obviously, Washington busts the coverage there. 31's got to continue to follow Cooper Kupp up the seam. But that's why you motion and movement. It confuses communications. Guys forget their rules at the last second. Ooh, we were playing cover 4, but we were taught all week if they motion to this, we want to play cover 3. Oh, no, I forgot my cover 3 rule. It's too late. He's gone. But then them running the football the way they are, I mean, damn. I mean, they're like, We saw last week them just run the ball down the throat of the Baltimore Ravens. Same thing again yesterday. They're one of the better running football teams in the NFL the last 4 or 5 weeks in the league. A lot of credit to the Rams and what they're doing, playing tough. I know Washington hung around, but this is a game the Rams controlled the whole way.
152 rushing yards for Kyren Williams on 27 carries. Cooper Kupp had 111 receiving yards. DeMarcus Robinson's been a nice little find for them, too. He had a touchdown and 44 receiving yards, and he had one carry for 23 yards. So, I mean, he's an impact player.
He is.
Nakua. Remember, it was just a mess last year.
Good job to round out the group there.
Everything about them was a mess last year. They had Allen Robinson last year who didn't do anything. Right. Just everything felt lost for the Rams. They were paying the bill for going all in 2021. And now this year, and you know, you and I both believe Sean McVay seriously thought about leaving.
Yep.
Kind of got shamed into staying because guys were like, wait a minute, we thought you were going to be here. Would have taken an escape hatch to a broadcast booth if a seat had been available. No seats were available, or at least would have seriously thought about it. And now it's all working out well for him and the team. Now, I don't know what next year is going to look like because I don't know how long you can hold together this group. But maybe you start reloading
younger guys.
They're going to need a quarterback at some point.
Right. That's what, you know, how long does Stafford go, right? He's an old 35, right, you know, for that. But, hey, where they have changed, and I know I've said this to you, is their D-line's bigger than in years past. Their O-line is also bigger than years past. And we're not seeing – remember early in the year it was like, man, Matthew Stafford, I mean, protect yourself. He's getting crushed. Now he's being protected. They run the ball. And for me – like, I want the Rams in the playoffs. I'm going to just state it right now and say it. I'm a guy, and everybody that's ever listened to me knows this, I want the best 7 teams in the playoffs because it means the best viewing experience for all of us as we watch the playoffs unfold. And for me right now, with the Rams, yes, I think they're one of the 7 best teams in the NFC. They will add to the NFC playoff drama. And like we said a few weeks ago, nobody's going to want to be in the wild card round and go, my gosh, Sean McVay and Aaron Donald and Matthew Stafford and Cooper Kupp are coming to town. That's going to be scary. That will be. Just like you talk about with Buffalo, if they come into town like that in the AFC. That's who I kind of look at the Rams. They're kind of that in the NFC, and we'll see where this all goes.
Well, and what about – see, it's not going to be 2-7 – 49ers Rams, unless the 49ers blow the one
seed. No, it'd be Eagles Rams, right? Or maybe they can get a 6 seed and then go to Detroit. Which
that's
would be a
the
great
one.
Matchup, right?
That's another the one that would be awesome. Right. That's the ideal.
Goes back to Detroit.
Lions don't want that.
Right.
They don't want the Rams coming to town.
They definitely don't.
Although they looked pretty good on Saturday night. You know, we had games Saturday night we're not going to get to, but the Lions kicked the crap out of a previously hot Broncos team.
Yes, they did.
And the Lions reestablished themselves a little bit. The question is, can they keep that going this weekend against the
Vikings? You
know
what else happened on Saturday?
Yeah, I know.
Took an L, baby.
Yeah, well, I picked
maybe
the Bengals
they would have won if you'd been a pick them.
Yeah, I'm sure that has influence.
You guys, that was one of those games where they didn't win, you guys lost.
I was flying up here during that, and I had texting on the plane, so my son was giving me play-by-play, and I was able to get Twitter, but I wasn't able to watch the game, and it was just a very frustrating experience.
The 2 interceptions were huge.
Well, the interceptions were huge. The tush-push nonsense
twice in a row
in overtime.
And you're not a good running football team.
My son cracks me up. He is so...
He's a chip off the old block?
He's worse, if that's possible. He goes back and forth between, boy, Kevin O'Connell needs to coach this team for 50 years, too. They got to get rid of him. It's like, they're not getting rid of him. They got to get rid of him. He's the problem. He's trying to diagnose who the problem is.
Yeah.
The problem is this guy. The problem is this guy. The problem is this guy. The problem is Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, the GM. Now, the problem's Kevin. The problem's this guy. It's always somebody's the problem. It's like, you just got to chill and let it play out. But even though they lost, they're still in the 6th seed. They got Lions, Packers, Lions to finish the season, and it's all in front of them. And, you know, they can still win the division. Because if the Lions lose to the Cowboys
– right.
On
they beat the Lions
on New Year's Eve,
right?
Yeah,
and they win their games.
Yeah, they. But I don't see this team winning the last 3 games of the year. Not the way they played on Saturday. All right, let's take a break. When we return, no Tyreek, no problem for the Miami Dolphins. That's next here on PFT Live. The Miami Dolphins getting it done without Tyreek Hill. Now, they were playing the New York Jets, whose offense continues to be not good. 30-0 dismantling of the Jets, 5-9 is New York. 10-4 are the Dolphins. And the report came out yesterday morning that the Dolphins were going to let Tyreek Hill decide what to do. I think this is just a classic example of Mike McDaniel, emotionally intelligent, knowing how to empower people to make their own decisions, but to provide them with the evidence and the information necessary to make the decision that he would make if he were the one making the decision.
Right.
Balancing, I want 2,000 yards, MVP consideration against team goals.
Right.
We don't need you this week. We need you next week. We need you next week. I'm told he's likely to play next week as of right now. Of course, things could change. But as of right now, as of yesterday, as of yesterday, it's likely he'll play next week. And I was told it also wasn't even close yesterday. He wasn't going to be able to play yesterday.
Right.
But he had to come to that conclusion on his own. They still got it done without him. They won't get it done against the Cowboys without him. They need him against the Cowboys. Although maybe they will. I don't know. After the way the Cowboys looked yesterday, who the hell knows? But they need Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, they need Tyreek Hill. I mean, again, to be one of the, you know, upper echelon elite teams in football, there's no doubt. I mean, they're, you know, again, they did some good things. Tua was incredibly efficient yesterday, which you got to be with the Jets. They don't give you a ton of plays down the field. You know, but 21 of 24, that's a damn good day. But it was still only 290 yards of total offense. It wasn't like they went up and down the field. In fact, you know, here's the big play, the by far the big play of the football game for the Miami Dolphins. 10-0, right? 17-0. And you just felt like that was insurmountable with the way the Jets offense looked. You know, but Waddle, yeah, he got the Tyreek Hill role in this game. He was the one that was going in motion everywhere and flying around, and he's certainly capable of doing Tyreek Hill type of things, not maybe quite to that extent, but, you know, in that same ballpark. Here's my problem with the game. You heard me during the game. I mean, first off, you know, hey, the defense, they started a strip sack, right? Miami Dolphins get the ball. It took them three plays to get 1 yard to score a touchdown to start the game after the strip sack on Zach Wilson. They're going into the game with self-doubt on offense, right? They're going into the game going, I don't know, are we as good without Tyreek Hill, right? I mean, everybody's telling them that. We're all talking about it. They themselves watched the film of the Titans game. He's in the game. We're good. He came out of the game. We're 3-and-out, right? The fake punt by Robert Saleh, right, to it the early of the second quarter or late first quarter, on a 4th and 6, it wasn't like it was 4th and 1 or 2, it was 4th and 5 or 6, and it looked like the Miami Dolphins kept their punt safe or their defense in. That to me was a mind-blowing decision. You have one of the best defenses in football. Punt the ball down there, play the field position game, put the pressure on Tua and Mike McDaniel that the offense isn't as good without Tyreek. Let them start to feel that. There's a ton of Jet fans in the stands. That was a horrible decision in the football game, and that was where they lost it, right there. 10-0 was too much for them to overcome. See you later. Game over.
And then it all fell apart after that, as we thought it was
Wilson
going
to. Wilson
got
hurt.
Zach Wilson's in the concussion protocol, and it was so weird, all the different excuses
got.
Dehydrated. He went to the locker room early because he was dehydrated. And then he's got a head injury. And then, oh, it's his shoulder. And then finally they labeled
him
as having
a concussion. Got a head injury, but he's not in concussion protocol.
Yeah. He's got a head injury, but no concussion.
And then it went back to concussion protocol.
So he has a concussion, and who knows, we may not see him again this year. There was a lot of talk about Aaron Rodgers being cleared to join the roster and play as of Wednesday. On Wednesday, the window closes on his 21-day return to practice. He's either got to get to the 53-man roster or get back to IR for the rest of the year. They're eliminated now.
Yeah.
Just no, you're not playing. What's the point? What's the purpose of him playing less than 100% for meaningless games? No, get ready for next year. There's no reason for him to play.
I would have said
the
it
Jets
if were available.
Right now, the Jets right now, what they can do, Woody Johnson, and I think Aaron Rodgers has to do this first. Rodgers has to come out tomorrow on McAfee's show and say, I will play next year. Not, I'll let you know in March so we can have some big reveal with 500,000 people tuning into McAfee's show on a Tuesday to find out. No, say it now. You don't need to go sit in a dark closet. You don't need to sip ayahuasca. You don't need to eat magic mushrooms. You don't need to have some epiphany, some vision quest. You're playing next year. Say it. Woody Johnson needs to come out and say, Robert Saleh is going to be back. Joe Douglas is going to be back. We're going to do next year what we're trying to do this year, as long as he doesn't tear his other Achilles tendon 4 snaps into the first game of the season.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with you there, right? There are some things that are unsettled about the Jets right now. And of course, he's the major power player and the guy that's the driving force behind where this organization
is
right
now. He's not wired to do anything other than seek maximum attention for himself and stretch it out as long as he can.
That seems to be...
I'm sorry, hard truth.
No, well...
You're not wired to be anything other than, hey, everybody, we're going to string this out, look at me, pay attention to me. As long as possible,
that's
just feels
the
like
perception
that's what it
around
is.
The NFL. I mean, there's no doubt about that. There's no doubt. I think if you talk to most coaches in football off record, they'd be like, "I've never seen a quarterback get hurt and not be a part of a season more, but still be the main talking part of that team more than Aaron Rodgers." And you know that's odd. Most organizations wouldn't do that. The Patriots, and they're winning 20 Super Bowls in a row, would never let. That wait, a distraction on her sidelines during the game. All of this, all they wouldn't. That
Brady tore his ACL week one. The year after, they had one of the greatest seasons in NFL history. Tore his ACL, he was gone.
Gone. That's what they do because you're not playing. You're not in the fight right now. So we don't need you going, "Oh, you guys should have done this or should have done that," or distracting people on the sideline.
I mean,
or any
commenting
of that.
On his own views about how things got leaked regarding Zach Wilson, saying it's chicken shit, taking shots at the organization. But again. Jets, you only got yourselves to blame. You got smitten with his talent. You did a deal with the devil. I'm not saying he's the devil. It's just a saying. But now you got to pay the price. It's been a cluster mess of a season. I keep coming close to saying that word, but that's what it's been for the Jets. And the question is, will it be next year? We'll see. But the sooner they turn the page from this year to next year and make it clear he's going to be back and everybody else is going to be back, the better chance they have to maybe do next year what they could have done this year. Let's take a break. When we return, who made the biggest statement this weekend? Saturday and Sunday statement draft. We haven't done this in a while.
No, we never get
to. I have
to
no
that.
Idea who I'm going
to
pick.
You usually talk too much, so we can't get to the segment.
We'll be right back, asshole. Monday edition of PFT Live, we roll along through our Saturday/Sunday statement draft. We have not done this in a while, but it gives us just another way to address some of the action from the weekend that was, all the way back to Saturday with three games. Chris, you're up.
Well, the Lions are going to be the first one I talk about as far as making a Sunday statement. I mean, they haven't been playing their best football lately. They're playing a Denver Bronco team that we know has been pretty damn good and looking like they're going, on an upward trajectory there. Well, damn, did they squash that. I mean, they really did. It was one of those games where, I picked the Broncos to win a close one, and about the second drive of the game, I went, oh, no, this is not good. Like, not like, oh, Denver can hang in there and maybe sway the momentum back their way. I went like, oh, no, they're in real trouble, right? The attack by the Lions offense was too much for the Denver Broncos to handle. The Broncos have been fortunate for the most part to play some teams here during their win streak that are like either good at the run or the pass, but not both. And I think that's allowed Vance Joseph with, a good defense, but not super talented to go, oh, okay, we're playing this team this week. We'll go a little more eggs in the pass game offense, Oh, and this week we can go a little more on the run game. Lions have balance. And with their O-line being healthy and the fact that they're going to feature Jahmyr Gibbs as their feature running back now, they're dangerous. I mean, they are. I mean, and they had their way doing whatever they wanted on the offensive side of the ball. Once they start to run the ball like they did in the first two drives, good night, because Ben Johnson has all the coolest play-action passes in football. You add that with Laporta and Amon-Ra St. Brown, and we're seeing Jameson Williams more in that run game. That was an impressive win by the Detroit
Lions. If you don't get the Lions to third down, you don't have a chance.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the key.
Because third down puts it on Jared Goff, right? You don't have to worry about play action or any other trick plays. And that's, that's pretty standard with a lot of the good offenses in football. I think we would say the same thing about probably the Miami Dolphins too. But yeah, you get – when the Lions are in second and four all game, you are screwed as a defense, because now they can run 5 yards for the first down, or they call the play action pass, and, there's a big play to be had there too, and that's when they're really rolling.
Well, the Tommy DeVito era was fun while it lasted.
Get
but the Saints
shine
defense.
Box.
Get your shine box, Tommy, because the Saints defense sacked him 7 times. They were 2 for 16 on third down, and it just never felt close. It never felt competitive. I think I made the comment last week, they're going to spear the chicken cutlet with the top of the fleur-de-lis, the thing on the side of the Saints helmet, and that's just it. Again, it was fun, and now it's done. The Saints get the win. they stay even with the Buccaneers atop the NFC South, and it feels like it comes down to those two teams. One of them's getting in. Maybe they both get in. Maybe the other one gets a wild card.
Yeah, no, that's crazy.
They
NFC
do play
South,
each other coming up, though.
They have some other ways to get in, right? Where, yeah, they could be two of them with, you know, less than impressive records. But, you know, Saints played it the right way yesterday. I think they really did. Their defense was good. They knew they were playing an offense that's not real special. They didn't let Tommy DeVito scramble, which was the big thing that the Packers screwed up on Monday night. He doesn't want to stand there and make throws, really. He wants to run around and make it backyard football. So they didn't let that happen early on in the football game. There was no run game to talk about. Saints played field position, pretty conservative on the offensive side of the ball. As you know, Derek Carr, I wish he's a little too conservative for my money a lot of the times. But, you know, I think they realized who they were playing against. Why take any chances? We'll just slowly whittle them away and wear them down, and that's what they did.
All right, what else you got?
I think the next one, I got to go to the Texans and give D'Amico Ryan and company credit for what they did yesterday. You know, get behind the eight ball early, right? Titans go down, nice touchdown drive. They get the pick six, right? And then from there on out, they kind of slowly wore down the Tennessee Titans. And I think I picked the Texans here just because, in the statement of all the good players they had missing in this game, Will Anderson, no C.J. Stroud, no Nico Collins, no Tank Dell. And it what D'Amico Ryans has done with this football team is going, no, we're more than just, you know, two or three guys. We got something here. And, I mean, did they totally shut down the Titans' run game? Will Levis had a hard time really doing much of anything after that first drive. And even though Case Keenum wasn't a world beater, made a few plays here and there. And we're seeing, with the Texans' O-line being healthy and ready to go here the last month, they're starting to run the ball on a consistent basis. Way to be tough and physical and outlast the Titans.
I suggested last night at the taping that we do in the third quarter that when the Texans and the Titans play, whoever wins that game should have the rights to the Oilers uniform next time they play.
That's cool. I like that. That would be a cool little, like, you know, how college
it's like a little brown jug.
Like,
yeah, that's what I said. It's
we have, like
that.
The golden hat at Texas, Oklahoma.
I say it half jokingly, but I kind of like it.
I think it's actually kind of cool. It could add to the rivalry.
Last one for me. The Colts have ended the Steelers. Maybe Ben Roethlisberger was right. Whatever you want to put on it, the Colts completely embarrassed the Steelers. They needed that game badly. They were up 13-0. It fell apart.
Yeah,
Mitch Trubisky got benched for Mason Rudolph.
Right.
And it feels like the Tomlin era is coming to an end. It may be he walks before they make him run, but it feels like it's coming to an end. Let's take a break. The show's coming to an end. We got one more round, plus maybe a five-second Monday Night Football preview. Fly, Eagles, fly. We'll be right back. Fly, Eagles, fly. All right, lots to do in the last 75 seconds. Give me one more, Chris.
Sunday statement. Let's go to a Saturday statement. When the Bengals beat the Minnesota Vikings, you were flying, so you didn't have to deal with
what
the misery.
T. Higgins,
what a catch.
Good Lord.
Is why I say it's a statement, right? First off, your team outplayed the Bengals and probably should have been up 31-3, right? But at the end of the day, still, the Bengals hung around. And where I say it's a statement is, you know, Jake Browning, they're going to have confidence to go, wait, we can come back with this guy at quarterback. To be down 73, come back, you know, be down at the end, need the touchdown to tie it up. I do think that goes a long way to their overall confidence as a football team.
Panthers fans made a statement on Sunday by not showing up. And I know, oh, it's raining, all the weather is bad. It's December football. The team sucks. One win. Although they doubled their pleasure yesterday to the chagrin of the Falcons, and Chris called it, Desmond Ridder's going to throw an interception that's going to change the game, and he did, and the Panthers won. Somebody said last week that Arthur Smith is safe barring a disaster down the stretch. Disaster engaged.
That might have been.
Eagles win tonight. Fly, Eagles, fly. 27-21.
Eagles, I got them 24-21.
All right, fly, Eagles, fly.
See you
tomorrow.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.